The University of Washington has one of America's great rowing programs. Its crew teams win world championships and gold medals. Its women's crew coach, Bob Ernst, has been there since before I was a Husky, before Rob McKenna was a Husky, more than 40 years. He's won 8 national championships, and last week, the university fired him. Sports writer Jeff Baker is here from the Seattle Times. Welcome, Jeff.
Good to be here.
The university finished a 2-month-long investigation into crew coach Bob Ernst. What sparked the investigation?
Well, on the first day of classes in September, Ernst and his pretty successful coxswain got into a heated argument in his office. I mean, she had apparently gone to him. She had been at national team tryouts earlier this summer, had been exposed to different kinds of coaching. She had, from what we've been told, gone to him and suggested he perhaps be a lot more communicative with his athletes, a little softer in how he addressed some of them. And from all accounts, that conversation didn't sit in all that well with the coach. And then during his opening address on the first day of classes to his rowers, he caught her glancing at a cell phone, and that irritated him quite a bit. And they ended up having a discussion in his office afterwards. Things deteriorated, and depending who you talk to, she either quit the team or got thrown off the team by him. It just depends. You know, there's been various accounts told to university officials, but she was off the team. And from there, she complained to administrators about his style, about his approach, and administration went and did an investigation and interviewed something like 24 current athletes and a handful, I'm told, I think it was 4 former athletes from recent graduates who were brought in to talk. And they painted a picture of a man who ran, depending on, again, on who you talk to, a dictatorial type of coaching regime, which isn't all that unusual in Division I college sports. I played football up in Canada when I was younger. I can tell you our coaches were all dictators. But, you know, in this case, there's some real debate about whether, Bob Ernst's style went too far and whether, you know, being a bit of a tough love kind of coach ended up becoming an abusive type of coach.
Well, what was the fireable offense? It wasn't tough love.
There wasn't any one offense in particular from everybody I've spoken to. There wasn't any one thing. There was talk that he was making his rowers feel compelled to skip classes in order to get extra practice sessions in if they wanted a ride in the Varsity 8 boat, which is the big coveted prize amongst crew members. There was talk that he might have made fun of the weight of some of his female rowers, and that's become a sensitive issue in more modern times than it was, let's say, 30 years ago. It's definitely a lot more, there's a lot more education about that kind of stuff. So there were complaints that he was not only, making quips about their weight, but actually mocking some of them. It really comes down to interpretation. I've spoken to rowers who left the program as recently as 2 years ago, and they say that, Bob Ernst was very tough, yes, but we appreciated that. And when you get a little bit of distance between rowing right now and maybe 2 years later, when you look back on it all, your perspective might change. Whereas, when you're sitting in the boat exhausted every day now and going home, you might be thinking a lot differently about your coach. And that's, I think that's where we're running into some of the issues here, where we're seeing arguments amongst generations.
Yeah, okay, right. So I hear two things going on. There's the generational, the way they did it back then, the way it's always been. Some of the former athletes suggested that kids are coddled today, right? And then you have the dictatorial, tough love versus, bringing out the best versus riding somebody too hard. What have you learned about those gray areas in reporting them?
Well, I mean, that's part of the issue. I mean, I've spoken to, believe me, I've been between the last few days and today, I've heard from athletes of just about every decade going back to the 1950s who rode, at UW or did some kind of sports at UW. And, a lot of them are saying, we put up with this kind of stuff all the time as athletes. The one thing we don't know is we weren't inside that shell house with those athletes. We weren't out on the water with them. We don't know exactly what was said and the tone that was used and how harsh it got. But, I mean, the one thing I know from covering professional sports for many years is that and college sports at a D1 level can start to verge on the professional aspect of it. It's not supposed to, but it does nowadays. That's the reality. Coaches can be very harsh on their athletes, but some of the best coaches I ever had growing up, you know, were extremely harsh on me. They called me every name in the book, but, you know.
Name one.
I'm not going to name them here. No, I can tell you what. When I was 8 years old, I had a coach in Canada named Jeff Cimboli, who after we actually had to walk off the field during a game, he was embarrassed. He lined us all up against a chain link fence, and he made us take runs at that fence and try to knock it down for a good solid half hour. We never did knock the fence down, but, I mean, he was trying to tell us, you know, what happened on that field is not acceptable. And I'll tell you what, you ask anybody.
You didn't knock the fence down?
We did not knock
the fence down. Sounds like you're a loser.
We were 8 years old. But you talk to people
now. An eight-year-old loser.
You talk to people who have gone on and played college and pro ball, and some of my ex-teammates did, and they will tell you that he was one of the best coaches they ever had. He instilled discipline, mental toughness in them. That's one example, and that's like, as an eight-year-old. That doesn't mean anything. You're talking here about D1 sports, very different subject, but it's a very sensitive thing, and athletes today versus athletes yesterday will have entirely different views on how things are supposed to be approached. Now, having said all that, from what I've been told and from what we knew going into this, the intention of these athletes wasn't to get the coach fired, and indeed the administration was not going to fire him.
They gave him another chance.
They gave him another chance. But depending on who you talk to supporters of the coach, they'll tell you that he felt ambushed by this meeting. They had a meeting on the Friday before Thanksgiving in which, you know, it was kind of a hastily arranged thing. They were supposed to meet the next day. He ends up going into the Shell House, gets confronted by all their allegations. Things get a little testy towards the end. He ends up storming out and then sends them an email saying, you know what, I'm still your coach. The way this was handled wasn't right. I'm going to stay on and be your coach. And that didn't go over well with the crew members who ended up contacting the administration, and he was fired two weeks later.
Yes, I want to hear how the panel reacts to this. Melanie? Start with someone else? Is that what you're saying?
I'd say start with someone else. I was never a part of organized sports.
Were you coddled?
I was.
Are you soft?
I was never coddled, and I was never sent to. I was in the Chicago Children's Choir, and we were never sent to run against a chain link fence when we missed our notes.
Dan Savage, you look like you work out a lot.
I don't care about sports.
I know, but were you
an
athlete?
I do remember. No, I was never an athlete. But now I'm a snowboarder because I live in Seattle, and you have to be. I do remember that I had a science teacher in junior year of high school, or sophomore year, who was terrifying, and everybody hated him, and nobody wanted to be assigned to his classes. He was the worst science teacher. He screamed and yelled. He threw things at people. He was terrifying. And you learned so much in his classes, and as soon as you were out of those classes, you were like, he was the best teacher I ever had.
Wow.
Even though it was traumatic to get your schedule and see his name. People were in mourning.
You've got a kid. Do you want your son to have that traumatic, wonderful teacher?
No, of course not. I'm a wimpy, white, liberal Seattle parent.
Rob McKenna, you're not a liberal anyway.
It doesn't sound like that it was the rowers who got him fired. It sounds like the athletic director decided after years of friction with Coach Ernst that he should go.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is pretext, and it may be that he stepped over the line in some regards, but it sounds like this might have been more of a fight within the administration than anything else. Having said that, one of the most interesting things about this story, I think, is the contrast between the views of athletes like Kristen Thorsness, who wanted a gold medal in rowing in 1984, and some of the younger athletes, which you guys alluded to earlier. She said in the article, was he hard on us? Absolutely he was. Did he rub some people the wrong way? Absolutely. But it's all about helping the athletes to find it within themselves to give their absolute best. The things he taught us helped so many rowers go on to be successful at other things in their lives. So, you know, 30 years later, she's got a very interesting and important perspective that differs perhaps from some of the rowers who are in the middle of it right now.
Yes.
And I think maybe it's generational too, Jim. What do you think, Jim?
Well, you know, I hesitate a little bit to jump onto the generational bandwagon, even though, let's face it, that's why people are clicking on the story today.
That rower was checking her cell phone while he was giving
that's
season
not
opening.
Over well with an old school coach anywhere. And I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. You know, but that said, I spoke to Ruth Wyman, the other day, who lives in England right now. She raced only 2 years ago for Bob Ernst. So she's gone on to become a silver medalist for Great Britain at the under 23 World Championships. She's injured right now, but she's going to be going for the Olympics in 2020. And you know, this is an elite world class athlete. She was a former junior world champ and only rode there 2 years ago. And she said much the same thing that Thorsness was saying, from her 30-year perspective. After 2 years, what Wyman was telling me is that, her perspective might have been very different 2 years ago sitting in the boat on the water. But you know, now that she's had time to look at it, she realizes what an impact this coach had on her life. And I think that's the important thing to remember. We can be dictators in sports, but you have to at some point show the athletes that you care what happens to them as people outside once they leave your program. And from everybody I've spoken to, they say that Bob Ernst really did show that he cared about what happened to his athletes after he stopped rowing for them. And maybe where this gap is occurring with the current athletes is they're not sensing that same level of care about them as human beings. And maybe they don't have that perspective yet to find out. I don't know the answer to that.
They're not human beings, Jeff. They're athletes. And we've got to bring them to their best so they can win the gold, so they can capture the brass ring. And then feel good about it 30 years later after the trauma has subsided.
After the trauma, or after they've gone on to become rich and successful as business people because of the same discipline.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Baker, Seattle Times. Thanks for telling us about the end of the career of the Husky legendary Husky women's crew coach Bob Ernst. We appreciate it, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.